everyone. Welcome to the Hoboken Grace Podcast. We hope today's message inspires you on your walk with God and supports you in a weekly rhythm of connecting with Him. We want to help you in that, so every message from every week is available live and on demand on our app or at hobokengrace.com. Thank you for choosing to spend time with us, and we'll see you next week.
If you haven't been with us for the past couple of weeks, or if I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name's Chris. And if you haven't been with us, we're in the middle of this conversation called A New Home. And we're looking at how Jesus steps in at, and he changes everything about the way in which we relate to God. And specifically, we've been looking at this story where he's teaching us that our relationship is going to change. God no longer wants to just be in a temple. God no longer is going to, you're not going to get to God by going through someone else. No, now you're going to have direct access to God. And specifically, he's introducing us to this idea that God is creating a family, that this relationship that God wants to have with you is the relationship of a father. And this idea of home that's so built into, ingrained in you is also at the heart of God. And we've been looking at this story where he's teaching his disciples this and introducing us to this. And today I want to go back to that story. It's historically called the prodigal son, and it's a story of this son who goes to his father and basically says, I wish that you were dead. Give me my inheritance. He gets his inheritance. He goes. He blows the entire thing. But then he comes to his senses, goes back to his father. His father welcomes him home. And we've been moving through each piece of this story because none of it is an accident. But before we get to that story, I want to take a second to talk about one of the stories that Jesus shares before this. Because if you remember back in week one, I told you that in this moment, Jesus is hanging out with sinners and he's being criticized for it. And in response, he shares three stories. We've been focusing on the third one, but there's two that come before it. And I want to go back to one of those stories because I think that there's something that Jesus is speaking to in those stories that's really significant in understanding the third, and something that you absolutely cannot miss about what Jesus is doing and how he's completely changing the relationship that we're going to have with the Father. So let me take you back to that. This is one of the two stories that was shared, that Jesus shares before he gets to the story that we've been looking at. It says this. It says, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open field or in the open country to go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Now, I know you don't have a lot of experience with sheep, and so you're wondering, I don't know. Does he leave? I don't really know where this story is going. But he says, no, the shepherd does leave the 99 to go find the one. It says, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be much rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And Jesus says, listen, I want you to understand. And in this moment, he's specifically talking about those who are lost. He said, I want you to understand how the Father values the lost, not just how the Father values the good. And Jesus does this from time to time. He's interacting with people and he's saying, listen, I know you guys have it all together. I know you guys don't really need me. I know you guys don't really need God. You're righteous. But I want you to understand how God values the lost. Now, the interesting thing is that he also comes back to them and says, oh, by the way, you're also lost. And he's trying to help them understand that they're lost. But he, in this moment, he's saying, look at how God, and he's speaking to this idea of value. He does the same thing in the second story because he's talking about someone who loses a coin and then she scours the entire house until she finds it. Why? Because it's valuable to her. And he says, this is the same way that God values you. This is the same way that God values the lost, that he would search for, that he would pursue you. One of the things we say every week here at Hope and Grace is that God is pursuing you. It speaks to this idea of value. And I want to make sure that we don't miss this when it comes to what Jesus is doing in our life, specifically as it pertains to value. Because value is a question we are all constantly asking. Now, you may have thought through this in the past. You may have actually consciously processed this. Or maybe this is just happening in your life and you're not fully aware of it. But here, I promise you this. All of us, every single one of us in this room, everyone watching online, all of us are constantly processing the question of value. In other words, am I actually valuable? And to whom am I valuable? We ask it every day. What am I actually worth? And there's been a lot that's been written about value and finding your value. You can go and buy book after book after book after book, self-help books that speak to value and how you can find value and recognizing your value. And it's interesting because I've read a lot about this, and it's amazing to me how complicated they make it and understand, okay, this is how, where you find your value, and this is what you need to do. But value is not a complicated, it's not hard to understand. It's not a complicated idea. It's, as a matter of fact, we understand it really from the time we're about this tall. Value is pretty simple. We all understand how it works. We all understand. We understand how to determine what something is worth. So for example, you walked in today and you walked in with your iPhone. Most of you, some of you have other embarrassing phones, but you walked in with your iPhone, and I could walk up to you and I'd ask you the question, well, how valuable is your phone? And you understand how to be able to determine how valuable your phone is. If I were to walk up to you and say, how valuable is your phone? You'd pull out eBay and you'd look, well, what is, and this is why it's not complicated. Value is very simple. The value of something is just what someone is willing to pay for it. Or maybe another way to say it is the value of something is just, well, it's based on what someone is willing to give for it. It's not difficult. All of us understand this. We understand how to determine value. What is someone willing to give for it? What is a stock worth? Well, what is whatever someone's willing to give for it. It gets interesting when you get into NFTs. But it's a great example. What is it? Well, what is that NFT worth? Well, unbelievably, you wouldn't believe what someone would give for it. And that determines value. It's not hard. It's actually a relatively simple concept. We learn it when we're very young. And we walk into every day and we ask the question, well, how valuable am I? And the equation doesn't change. It's the same equation. What is someone willing to give to be with you? What is someone willing to pay, sacrifice? This is why oftentimes we'll say, well, I don't think they value, and we say it this way, I don't think they really value our friendship. Well, your friendship isn't a thing. Like, we love to talk that way. I don't think they value our relationship. Well, a relationship isn't a thing. People will say this to me, that I think we need to work on our relationship. It's not a house. Like, it's not a thing. Like, you work on you or you work on the other person. Like, so when we say that, what we're really saying is I don't think that they really value me. Well, what makes you think that? Well, they're not really willing. They don't create the time for it. They're not really willing to sacrifice that much for it. Then why? Value is not complicated. It's really easy. What is someone willing to give for it? And we go into every week, we go into every day, and we ask the question, okay, how valuable am I? And we're trying to answer that question, and we're also trying, well, I want to be valuable. And it's amazing how this impacts so many decisions in our lives. And some of the most destructive decisions in our lives are based on this reality. And so some of you have given, you've given yourself away sexually, not because you wanted to, but because you wanted to be wanted. I want to be valuable. I want for someone else to sacrifice to be with me, to give, to be with me, to value me that way. I experience this too. I encounter people who hate their jobs. And some of you here, you despise your jobs. It's unbelievable. And you come home from work and you encounter your family, your friends, and they ask you, how's your day? And you complain for an hour straight. In hours, you despise your jobs. It's not just that you don't like them. You despise them. You hate going to work, but it's the one place where you feel valuable. And so you won't walk away from it. And this is the tricky thing about value. I don't think it's just true that we're asking this question all the time. I think there's something inside of us that, well, there has to be somewhere in your life where you feel valuable. This is why it drives us to make really destructive decisions, because not only do I think you can't escape asking the question, I don't think you can actually move forward without there being some place that you feel valuable. And if that doesn't exist, you will scramble and you will sacrifice. It's unbelievable what you'll sacrifice in order to find it. And so you stay at that job even though it's destroying your family, but it is the one place where I still feel valuable, and I may not like it, but look at what they're willing to pay for me. I don't think you can actually just ignore it. There has to be some place where you find it. I meet people that are addicted to pornography for this reason. It may be fake, but at least for a moment, someone looks at me like I'm valuable. Value's not complicated. What is someone willing to give for something? And we are all asking that question. And our culture understands that this is a problem. And we've done all sorts of things in our education system to try to resolve this problem. Because not only are we asking the question, but for far, far too many, the question is, I'm not valuable. And I know that we don't have a lot of parents in this service, but if you're a parent, pay very close attention to this. Or if you ever want to be a parent, pay very close attention to this. Because here's the thing. I meet a lot of parents who think, I'm going to make my kids feel valuable by giving them valuable things. You don't ascribe value to something by giving them valuable things. You ascribe value to someone by sacrificing to be with them. And far too many of us grew up in homes where we may have been given valuable things, but it was communicated very clearly that we weren't actually that valuable. Maybe you were even told that you weren't actually that valuable. And you're never going to really amount to anything. And our culture knows that we have a problem with this. And so it's interesting. We try all these different methods and we're told, hey, listen, no, you are valuable. And it doesn't matter whether or not, it doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what other people do. It doesn't matter whether anyone is willing to give anything for you. None of that matters. You are valuable. And you just need to tell yourself over and over and over again. And you need to remind yourself every morning when you wake up how valuable you are. But here's the problem with that. Listen to me. Listen. Here's the problem with that. Value is never self-ascribed, ever. We know value doesn't work that way. I can come up to you and say, how much is your phone worth? And you say, my iPhone 8 is worth $2,000. You can say it all you want. It's not true. It's not true. We understand. It doesn't work that way. Value is never, listen, for those of you who are trying to walk down that path, value is never self-ascribed, ever. And you can look in the mirror and tell yourself that all the time. Value is determined in community. It can never be determined individually. Which leaves us with this question. What is someone willing to give to be with me? I mean, let me just ask you. What are you worth? Let me ask you another question that goes with that. When I asked the question, what are you worth? What's the first thing that you thought about? What's the first thing that your mind went to? I love this question because it will reveal to you where you're trying to find value. Because if the first thing you thought about is your savings, then that's where you're trying to find value. Some of you are like, that wasn't the first thing I thought about. I try to avoid that thought in this conversation. No. Was it a relationship? Was it someone else? What's the first thing that you thought about? And again, let me ask you the question, because it's a valid question, and it's a question that, whether you know it or not, you're asking every day. What are you worth? This is one of the most amazing things that Jesus does. Because in this story of the lamb, he says, I want you to understand something. The Father values you. He values you enough to pursue you. But Jesus is going to take it further than that. He's going to take it further than that. I want to take you to a couple of passages that speak to this, because you can't miss this. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says this about what Jesus does when he goes to that cross. It says this. It says, you were bought at a price. You were bought at a price. 1 Corinthians 7, he says it again. You were bought at a price. It's crucial that you understand this. When Jesus goes to the cross, not only does he pay the price for your sins, but Scripture actually describes it as a transaction. You were owned by sin and death, by the destruction that you deserved, and he bought you. He paid a price for you. He bought you with his one and only Son. So let me ask you the question again. What are you worth? Well, what determines what someone's worth? What someone is willing to give for it. He bought you with his one and only son. What are you now worth? Now don't miss this, because I want to make sure that this reality, well, that it does the right thing within us. When you go to the story of the prodigal son, and this is why I wanted to go back to this. Obviously, he goes, he blows everything. He wakes up poor. He realizes, I've got to go back to the father, because he's taken his inheritance. He's blown the entire thing. Let me ask you this. At this point in the story, when he's blown everything, he's longing just to eat the food that's being fed to the pigs because he's about to die. He's literally starving to death. Let me ask you this. At this point in the story, what is the son worth? It's, understand this about what's happening here. He's working for someone. The person he's working for doesn't care if he lives. So much so that he's feeding his pigs and letting him starve to death. What is he worth? Nothing. Nothing. He says, let me go back. I'm starving to death. Maybe. Let me pick up the story here again. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. And so he decides to go back to his father. His father runs out, wraps his arms around him, and then listen to what happens next. He says, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Let me ask you the question now. What is the son worth at the end of the story? Everything. Well, the value's changed, hasn't it? Now, I say that because it's really important that we realize when Jesus buys us back, it's not because we were worthy of it. This is one of the other things that I love about this story. Again, this story is far more profound than we realize. At the beginning of the story, how valuable is the son? Well, he's the son of the father. He's in the middle of the story, as sin enters into his life and the brokenness of the world, what is he worth? Nothing. But then the father does what the father loves to do and what only the father can do. He restores the value. Listen to me. You were created in the image of God. Amen. A unique creation above all the rest of creation, intentionally thought out on purpose for a purpose. But then sin enters the story. And in our rebellion against God and in our disrespect, well, we lose all of our value. Until Jesus. Until the Father says, here's what I'll pay for him. I'll give my one and only son. Here's what I'll pay for her. I'll give my one and only son. And it changes our value forever. It changes our value forever. What are you worth? Now here's the thing. For some of you, for all of us, this is an ongoing journey, because nothing inside of you believes that this is actually true, because it's too good to be true. And the other thing is that there are all these voices inside of your head that have been determining your value for a very long time. And so maybe your father's voice is in your head telling you, well, you're not going to amount to anything. Or maybe it's that kid on the playground in fifth grade. It's amazing how many like dumb, worthless voices can get into our head that you don't even know where that kid is anymore. You only knew him for a couple of months, and yet that voice has haunted you for the rest of your life. And you have allowed it to actually impact your value. Or maybe it was a teacher, or maybe it was a boss. Whose voice are you allowing to determine your value? And I love the way Vinny said it after the first service. He said, which bid are you going to accept? Well, how do you know how valuable something is? Well, I'm going to look at eBay. Let me ask you this. Which bid are you going to accept? God said, this is what I'm willing to pay for them. Now, you can continue to allow those other things to shape your value. God won't force himself on any of us. Or you can realize the reality of what's been paid for you. Some of you have settled for lives and stories that are far below what you were created for, because you've bought into the lie that you're not valuable. And you haven't accepted the phenomenal gift that Jesus set your value forever. Forever. But you have to decide. Now that's where my value is found. Listen to me. Last week we talked about maintaining the posture of a servant, and that there's a posture to the prodigal, that you come and you serve. If you don't understand that your value is set, you'll never do that, because you'll live your entire life trying to prove yourself. I can't just be a servant. I've got to prove that I'm valuable. Why could Jesus do that? You weren't going to change his value. It was set. What gives you the freedom to be able to follow God into what he's called you to do is understanding. My value's set. You can say whatever you want about me. You can want to or not want to be. It doesn't matter. You can't change my value. And no matter what bid you make, I'm not accepting your bid. I'm not for sale anymore. My value's set. It changes everything. What are you worth? I want you to turn to the person on your right and say, I was purchased with the Son of God. Your right is that way, just in case you didn't. Thank goodness we're not valued based on our sense of direction. Listen to me. This is something you need to remind yourself of day after day after day after day. But here's the thing. Because of Jesus, you don't have to lie to yourself anymore. You're not making it up. No, this is what was paid for me. I didn't deserve it, and I wasn't worth it. But this is what was paid for me. And that's how valuable he made me. That's how valuable he made me. Will you pray with me? Father, we want to come to you today, and we want to accept that bid. We want to accept what it is that you gave for us, the reality that you bought us with this price. We want to accept how valuable you've made us because of what you gave for us. If you've never had that conversation with God, I just encourage you right now to have that conversation, to say, I know I'm not worthy. I know I don't deserve it. But I accept what Jesus did on that cross for me to be loved and valued, welcomed. Father, we thank you for the value that you've given us. We thank you that you freed us from the world's constant ascribing, chasing value that you've, and for us, you've said it once and for all. What an unbelievable Father. In Jesus' name, amen.